I know many of you probably are familiar with it, but there's an account in the Old Testament found in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and it's also found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and it concerns David when he had made this decision to number the people, to count the people of Israel. This was something that he wasn't supposed to do. There was some guidelines for doing that. David ignored those. And because of this, David realized that he sinned and knew that he was going to end up having to be punished by God for this sin. So in dealing with this sin, God spoke to David through the prophet Gad. And David was given three choices for his punishment that he had committed. And his three choices were, number one, there would be 3 years of famine in the land. And number two, it would be 3 months of him running from his enemies, fleeing from them, and being overtaken and in battle with his enemies. And the third choice was for a plague in the land. And this plague was, as it turns out, was not a plague in the sense of the ten plagues. This was a plague of death and destruction in Israel. Well, David's answer to Gad, the prophet, was that he couldn't bear the thought to fall into the hands of men. So he wanted to be in the hands of God. He felt like that he would be much better off being in God's hands with God's mercy than being in the hands of men. So according to this choice that he made, God sent a destroying angel, sent his angel to destroy the people of Israel. This was to last 3 days. And so toward the end of the 3 days, the angel had come to Jerusalem. And the text tells us that the angel stood over Jerusalem with his sword in hand, but God stopped him. And God said, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." Now the specific place where this had happened, where this angel was seen, was at a threshing floor of a man named Araunah, and he's a Jebusite. And David, through the prophet Gad, again, was told to go there and to build an altar and offer sacrifices for his sin to the Lord. David is more than willing to do this, and so he offers to buy the property from Araunah, offers to pay them the full price for the property so that he could have it to build this altar and to offer the sacrifices. Now, Araunah's response, Araunah has seen this angel, and his response is, no, he won't sell the property, but he will give it to him. He'll give it to David, and not only will he give him the property, he'll give him the threshing floor. He'll give him the implements that they used to thresh with for the wood for the sacrifice. He'll give him the oxen to be used as animals for the sacrifice. What I want us to focus on for a few minutes this morning is David's response to Araunah's offer. Okay? So please listen carefully to what David's response is here. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 24. And David says, "No, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me nothing." David valued this relationship to God and to get his relationship back right with God. And he wasn't willing to offer anything to the Lord that didn't cost him something. So the questions that I want us to consider for a few minutes this morning are these. What is our relationship to God worth? What do we have invested in that relationship? And maybe main question is, what is our relationship to God cost us? What is it that it's cost us today? You know, if we haven't invested very much in it, it probably isn't worth all that much to us. And any kind of relationship that people have, if it's going to be successful, there's going to have to be something put into it. a friendship, family relations, whatever it is, there's going to have to be some kind of investment, some kind of time, some kind of something put into it for it to be successful. Have you ever noticed how a small child will take care of something, a toy or something, and he'll take care of it much better if it's something that he's bought with his own money or she's bought? If they've got an allowance or worked for it and earned a few dollars and bought something, they're going to take care of it much better than they will if it's been something that's just been given to them. Why is that? Well, it's because they have something invested in it. That child has something invested in that toy or whatever it is that he's bought. Okay, for our questions there that I wanted us to consider, I thought of a few things this morning that we can invest in this relationship to God that will make it more valuable and maybe more meaningful to us. You may think of some other things, and that's good, because I've only listed a few. And again, our purpose here this morning is to think about our relationship to the Lord, what it's cost us, what it will cost us, and how valuable it is to us. And let me say, too, before I begin, about some of these things that we're going to talk about is, I apply these to myself first and foremost before I do to anybody else. Okay? What about our time? That's one of the key things. How much time do we invest? I know we're all very busy in our society today, but each one of us, we all seem to find a time to do the things that we like to do the things that we enjoy doing. Each one of us has the same amount of time every day, 24 hours, and we get to choose to do with it what we want to do and how to spend it. But how much time are we invested in investing in our relationship with God? We all have different things, kids, schools, jobs, you name it, that try to get our time and try to get our attention. When it comes right down to it and we think about it and think about the time that we spend investing with our relationship with the Lord, do you think that sometimes we spend a lot of time on things that are just not that important? How much time do we spend in prayer, in reading, and in studying God's Word, and in service to others that the Lord would have us to do? How much of your time, how much of my time are we willing to invest in this relationship with the Lord? What about our money? We live in a country today that's very blessed in material things. We have a tremendous amount of material blessings, financial blessings that most of the world doesn't have. How much of the money that we're blessed with are we willing to spend on the cause of Christ? Maybe even at the risk of not having enough for ourselves, or what we think would not be enough for ourselves. You remember Christ seeing the widow put in the 2 copper coins? She was commended for that. It was all she had, but she put it in the collection plate. And the Lord said she's put in more than anybody else because she put in all that she had. How much of our money are we willing to contribute to the work of the church or to others? I think a lot of times we think if we do 10%, we're doing good. We're doing our tithe, as some people like to think of it. But the truth of it is, it all belongs to God. So how much of it are we willing to part with? How much are we willing to give to others, contribute to others, or contribute to the church? Do we take the mindset that we'll be willing to give all of it away? You know, the rich young ruler had trouble with that, and he walked away sad because he couldn't see his possessions that way. What about our other physical blessings? What about our houses, our cars, the other things that we have? How can we invest those things in our Christianity to make our relationship with God even more valuable? Can we open our homes up to others? Can we be hospitable, welcoming, always wanting, desiring for people to come in and to visit with us? Can we make sure that our homes are a home where Christ rules? Is that a way we can do that? Now, the story is told, I remember this when I was a lot younger, of a man who lived out in the country in a place where there wasn't a lot of people who had cars. And so one of the things, he had a car, and one of the things that he did was, especially at night, he would make sure that his car was full of gas and ready to go. And when he was asked about why, it was because there was always that possibility that there would be a neighbor or somebody that would need him to take him somewhere. Maybe an emergency or something like that. So this man was always willing to go. He was always ready, if he was asked, to be able to take his car, to take his gas, to take his money that he'd spent for this and use it to help others. Can we have that same kind of attitude? What about our sleep and our rest? Are we willing to invest some of that and to give up some of that for the cause of Christ? I know all of us at different times in our lives have had to give up sleep for one reason or another. Sometimes it's schoolwork, sometimes it's job, there's a project due. and having to work long hours. But are we willing to do that for the cause of Christ? Have we ever lost sleep for something that either needed to be done or we just needed to be up praying for somebody or some situation? In Matthew 10:37, what Tim read just a few minutes ago, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." This is a big one now. Think about this. Have you ever had to walk away or back off of a relationship with somebody because of your relationship with the Lord? Maybe with a friend, but maybe even a family member. I heard somebody talking the other day about a relationship with their own mother, that they had to put some distance there because of their relationship with the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do, but that's tough. And I would encourage each of us now, if we're in any kind of a friendship, a relationship of any kind that's not helping us, and it's not getting us closer to God, it's not helping us grow in our relationship with our Lord, to back off of that friendship or to put it away so that we can grow and we can show the Lord what's truly important. Sometimes I wonder whether or not in our Christian lives, what we want is something that's easy, something that's convenient, something that's not any trouble or difficulties. You remember when Felix heard Paul speaking and talking about Christ, talking about the judgment to come? His response to Paul was to go away. When he had a more convenient time, he would send for Paul. And I think most people believe that convenient time never came for Felix. But we as Christians, we can't afford to try in some way to put God in a box and serve Him and love Him and live for Him just when it's convenient for us. God won't have any part of that. And for us to be a success in our Christian walk, it's got to be more than that. God's got to be 100%, not just when we need Him or think we need Him. So for us, in thinking about all that this morning, are we willing to completely, 100% invest ourselves in our relationship with God? What exactly would that look like if we did that? One thing, we would count everything that we have, all the things that we've talked about, we would count all of those as not being ours at all. Time, money, relationships, whatever it is, we would see ourselves as being just a manager of that. And the true owner is the Lord. And what we've been given is a blessing and a task to be a good steward with whatever blessings those are. He's just left us in charge of all of these things. And he's trusted us to do with them what he wants us to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So this idea of investing ourselves 100% in God and in our relationship with the Lord, that's just a reasonable service that we're expected from God. We're expected to do that. It's nothing that's above and beyond the call of duty by any means. It's what's expected of us. And that's what we need to strive for. Well, what if we had invested everything that we had in our Christianity? What if we lived like the only thing that mattered to us was our relationship to the Lord? But isn't it true now that at the end of this life, when this life is over, the only thing that really will matter is our relationship to God? And I believe that's true. I think everyone here believes that's true. So how much of our lives, what part of our lives should we invest? And the easy answer for us is all of it. Everything. Everything we have. If we live this way every day and thought this way and had that kind of an attitude, think what that would do to our relationship with the Lord. How much more we would grow, how much more valuable that relationship would be, because we're putting something into it every day. We're investing in that future every day. So I wanted to just use this time this morning to encourage each one of us to work hard at investing what the Lord has blessed us with to gain that eternal return on that, on those blessings, so that we can, each one of us, have a home in heaven and have the future that he's promised us if we're going to live according to the way that he would have us to. So if you're here this morning and you've not yet begun your Christian walk, there's no better time to do that than this morning. We're here to assist you in any way that we can to begin that walk with the Lord. We'll help you in any way we can. Whatever you need, we will help you with. If, as a Christian, you're here this morning and you haven't put into your Christian walk what you've needed to, and you need the prayers of the church, and you need the support of the church, or you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, whatever you need, we'll be glad to help you with that too. So please come as we stand and sing.